Today on Real Radio.
Count the 173,880 days, 483 years. This is the 483rd year. 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC. It's today. Today's the day. Now's the time. This is the acceptable day of the Lord. Can you imagine being in the crowd and hearing that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series of presentations, all of which look at the most pivotal week in history. Often known as Passion Week, this is where Jesus of Nazareth, in his 30s, entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And here is where his fulfillment of prophecies really begin to ramp up. Now, to get the full effect, try and put yourself back into that time and place during the Roman Empire as Jesus, Yeshua, makes this entrance. And regardless of your personal beliefs of certain religious figures or religious views, just ask yourself this question. What if there's a reason for what is going on? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Remember, they were shouting, Hosanna! Save us now! And Jesus was on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden, exactly fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9:9 said, this is how, Israel, you'll identify your Messiah. He'll be on the back of a donkey that no one's ever ridden on before on Palm Sunday. That's why this day is important to us. It gives us boldness to preach the word of God and to share with friends with confidence that we're not following some cunningly devised fable, as Peter warned us, not to pursue silly philosophies and vain things. God deals with specifics. Aren't you glad that God deals in specifics with our lives? He's not some vague general deity out there in the universe floating around. You don't know what he's thinking. Is he upset today? Is he happy today? He's so specific. God, in some point in your life, in my life, God is going to come knocking on our door. The Lord will knock somehow, somewhere, at some event of our lives. And listen, if we are not staying close to him, I don't ever want to hear him say, Jack, I wanted to do this for you, but you were not willing. Can you imagine if he said that to you? Hey, bud, I wanted to bless your life, but you were not willing. Karen, I wanted to pour out my spirit on you and answer that question that you had, but you were not willing to receive the answer. So Jesus is saying, why didn't you guys know this day? You should have known it was written in the book. You had it. You could have read it. You weren't even willing. And he weeps. He says in verse 38 of Matthew 23, behold, your house is left to you desolate. Desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amazing. Third consideration under this point, why is this day so important? Because the Lord had fulfilled what he had said. God keeps his word. Palm Sunday, as I said, stands alone. Quickly this, it stands alone. And you ask yourself this question, when was this verse fulfilled and when could it have been fulfilled? Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10 announce this. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It's a reference to the Lord. Church, I just want to ask you, when do you think? Now be honest. Use your brain. When in antiquity, when in history, where the Bible gives you a warning on what to watch for. Was there ever an event when someone came riding on a donkey over the Mount of Olives and people shouting Hosanna, and he begins to weep because they were not willing or open to receive him and to recognize him? As he comes in, he goes through the gates into Jerusalem that the shout could have been made, lift up, O ye gates! and the King of glory shall come in. When could that have possibly ever happened in history? It happened on Palm Sunday when the Lord came in. Remember what Zechariah 9:9 had said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold," great word, "open wide your eyes and see the King coming." Man, I don't know if there's a doubter in the house, but if you get this, you're going to be pumped up. Because God, who cannot lie, makes perfect promises. And he says, the Savior of your life will come into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. You'll be able to recognize him. Oh, by the way, it'd be 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC. What an awesome thing. He fulfills his word. Point number two this morning, what if there's a reason to what's going on? If you were in that crowd, yes, but what about today? In our day, what's happening to this world around us? This is an amazing thing. I wrote that down. What's happening in this world around us? What's happening? Well, you know what? Jot this down if you would. People are asking the question because things can look pretty impossible. You guys, we're living in a bizarre moment in time. For example, are you aware of the fact that there are scriptures, the Bible said that as we get really close to the Lord's return, that there'll be people departing from the faith. The word is apostasy. Maybe you've heard that word. They're going to leave off on being a believer. They're just going to leave. I'm tired. I quit. I've been a Christian for 50 years, but I'm quitting now. I don't understand that, but it happens. It happens all the time. Now, don't jump up and say, don't jump up and say, yeah, it's the guy next to me, or that's me, or wait a minute. Just don't say a word right now. But have you noticed that, say, in the last 5 years, in your life, not to mention just ministry life, in your life, have you noticed how many friends and family members we have lost to people who have said, I quit? In fact, for me personally, 30 years ago, when I gave my heart to Jesus, the people that we walked together in the faith the first 5 years, those people are not walking now. And it seems like the last 5 years have been very, very difficult for people. People are giving up on their marriages. I don't want to be married anymore. Why? Just don't want to. Where's the sense of commitment? We've lost the thing about how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I love you? How can I bless you? No, now it's all for me and myself and I. And when you get that mindset, marriage won't work because there's no room for God in it. And people are giving up on their marriages. What about their word? People keeping their word. Now, some of us grew up with a childhood. My father raised us, if you say it. My dad, in fact, didn't even know the Bible, was not even a Christian. But my dad used to say, which is in the Bible, if you say something, and you guys, if you agree with somebody on something that it will be this way, I don't care if it's the time of the day or how much, if you wind up making a mistake later, you eat it, dude. It's your problem, Jack. You keep your mouth shut. If you told that guy you'll sell it to him for $50 and you find out it's worth $500, you don't change your, you said it, you keep it. You give it to him for $50, even though you found out later it's worth $500, because you keep your word. Even if it hurts you, you keep your word. You don't break your word. And when you shake, my dad, maybe your dad grew up in a generation, if you shook hands on it, you didn't need a piece of paper. That was it. That is gone today. In fact, even while you're making a deal with somebody and you're shaking their hands and signing the contract, they're already on the phone with their attorney about how to swindle you out of it. Whoever's got the biggest bucks gets the meanest attorneys, wins the gig. So sue me is today's mantra. The world is coming apart. Things look impossible, but not for the believer. Palm Sunday should resurrect your hope that God keeps his word even though no man will. Amen. It's an awesome thing to realize that when God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to me. He's not going to change his love for you halfway through that process. He's not going to give up. When Jesus said, all those who will come to me, I will in no wise turn them away. That's not a Sunday morning promise, but it's different on Monday. He's the same. He's consistent. What's going on today in our day? What do we glean out of Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago? God keeps his word. And what looks impossible? God's in control. Secondly, it's this. What happens in this world, what's happening in this world can make us feel pretty hopeless if we don't have our eyes focused on the Lord, you guys. I bet you people back in the crowd back then thought, you know what, this is pretty hopeless. Rome is here. We're going through our Passover celebration, but when will we be free? Well, maybe today you have that sense of you're not free. Maybe it's even breeding within you a sense of hopelessness. Hopelessness, suicides are rising, people are losing hope. People put stock in things that are not going to matter. People are losing their homes. People are losing their jobs. Church, please listen. Do you know the word of God specifically so that if you lose your job and you lose your home, do you know that that's not your identity? Will you still believe that God loves you? That he's committed to you? No, Jack, I can't. I lost my home. I'm a loser. Why are you saying that? We're living in difficult days, trying times. You see what's going on in our world around us. It's absolutely crazy. Don't lose hope. God's on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. These days are not catching him off guard. Besides all that, Jesus said, I'm coming back. Remember that, right? Imagine, at some moment, you know, you think of the rapture of the church. That's where Jesus, not the first coming and not the second coming. Those are actual physical comings. The rapture, John chapter 14 and 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that he's going to appear in the atmosphere and catch his believers up to himself in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Wow! I would love for that to happen right about now. He'd be like, yes! Man. Don't lose hope. Listen. Just check your own heart. Am I trusting in anything for my status and my place in this life? Does your kids know that if you guys lost everything, or if mom got cancer, or if dad came down with this or that, that you're still a family, that you're still going to love, that you guys are going to have, even if it's sitting on the side of a hill, you can have your little family Bible there and say with Job, naked I came and naked I go, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. Your kids need to hear that like never before. There's no reason why we should lose hope like the world does. Overwhelming. What's happening in the world around us could be overwhelming because things can seem overwhelming. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. I love that verse because when he says, let not your heart be troubled, the word in Greek is, it's a command. I love when Jesus talks like this. I'm sorry. It's just the way I was brought up. It turns me on. When Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, it's a strong word. It's like you would discipline a little kid. Your little kid, not your neighbor's little kid. Your little kid. You take your little kid and you pick his chin up and you look at him because he's all bummed out because he didn't get his snow cone or his little Happy Meal or whatever it is. And you pick up his chin and you say just like this, listen to me. I love you. Listen to me. I love you. And I'm going to tell you something right now, buddy. Don't miss this. Listen to me. Look at me. Let not your heart be troubled. The word in Greek is stop it. Isn't that sweet? Can you imagine Jesus with a big smile on his face, picking your chin up because you're all, I'm so hopeless and helpless and overwhelmed and scared. And Jesus says, now listen here. And he picks your chin up and he says, stop that. You stop it now. You recognize this. Don't be like those 2,000 years ago who didn't recognize. I'm telling you now, recognize this. I love you. You don't need to be filled with hopelessness. You don't need to be scared. I've written to you my Bible. Read it more. The more you read it, the more you know about me, and the more happy you'll be. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, stop it. That's what that word means. And then he repeats it, John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop it. But I'm scared. Stop it. In Psalm 61, there that wonderful psalm that we've sang before as a song. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto you. When my heart's overwhelmed, I will take Melanta. I will bite my fingernails. No. That's not what it says. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Things look tough in America. I was born and raised in San Diego in Southern California in Orange County, and I'm an American. And just like Brigitte Gabriel stood up here that night and said, I'm an American. I wanted to jump up and say, I'm an American too. But you know what? There's one thing that trumps all that. I'm a Christian first. My citizenship's in heaven. My real passport, yeah, it says United States of America on it. But my real passport, it says, I don't know, it says something like heaven or, you know, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And I love America. But I got to tell you, we can become overwhelmed as believers when we see how God has been evicted from our nation. He's been evicted from our courts. He's been evicted from our schools. And I shudder. When you evict God from the presence of a culture and then you go to war, you go to war with, can you imagine getting your aircraft carriers and your chariots and everything together? Okay, let's go spread democracy. Let's go. Wait a minute. Democracy is fundamentally based upon a Judeo-Christian understanding of the Bible. Yeah. Let's go. And you go, and God ain't going with you. And now what's happening in Iran? You see the news today with Iran and what's going on with England, and they're storming the embassy, the England, Great Britain's embassy in Tehran. I mean, Iran's just provoking England to attack them. What is that all about? And then they said on the news, the U.S. has brought the Fifth Fleet into the Persian Gulf because of the tensions. Wait a minute. You know what? I would rather be in a dinghy with a pea shooter and have God in my boat than have the Fifth Fleet without God. This is the best it's going to be right now, unless this nation repents and goes back to God. Right. You mean what? What do you mean? That's exactly what I mean. I think this is the best it's going to be right now. I think it's just downhill from here unless we go back to God. And I think I can make a biblical case for that. Point number three, let's end this thing before there's a riot. I can feel you. What if there's a reason for what's going on regarding our future? If in our future, what will the days ahead reveal? Now, this is a funny thing. Whenever we talk about the days ahead, see, Palm Sunday was amazing because Jesus came into town and he was fulfilling prophecy. And you would have thought that just by his presence, and I hope that this is the case, I'm sure it's the case in some people's hearts, that Jesus' presence would have caused people to go and search and see the Old Testament scriptures to confirm what was going on. In other words, man, did you see what happened today when Jesus came into town? People were shouting hosannas. Oh my goodness, yes, let's get over to Psalm 118 and Psalm 119 and read that. Okay, yeah. And then, did you see that they began to lay down their palm branches and their clothing in the pathway? And he was on the back of a little donkey that no one's ever ridden on before. Really? Look at that. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Wow. And then Psalm 24, he went through the gates and they were shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord and the Son of David. They were acknowledging him as the Messiah. That's right here in Psalm 24. Don't you think that would have caused them to look into the future? In other words, keep reading to find out what's going to happen next. Inquiring minds want to know. I want to encourage you with that. What will happen in the days ahead of us? The world is definitely bent on evil. It's sad. But the Bible said evil days will wax worse and worse. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? It's a bummer, yes, but I'm glad God warned me about it so I can be ready for that. Second thing is that our faith's going to be tested. Our faith is about to be tested. You guys, for most part, in the last 50 years, America and Christianity has been on cruise control. Christianity ain't the dominant religion in America when it comes to the popular opinion. It may be true by number, maybe, sort of, but I can think of a lot larger global group who's completely committed. In fact, our numbers are dwindling. They are. Christianity in the world's going down in size. People are not teaching and preaching the Word of God verse by verse anymore. People are quitting and giving up. It's called apostasy. The Bible said this would happen. The Bible also said that there'd be a great increase in numbers on a grand, massive path that would lead to destruction. I was looking at a course yesterday, and this course was saying that within 5 years, count 5 years out, that one out of every four people on the planet will be Muslim. Fastest growing religion on the earth by just sheer birth rate. Forget conversion. Birth rate. Interesting. That's exactly what the Bible said would happen. Wow. Faith tested. If on that day, somebody who was convinced of the events, because listen, church, and we're almost done, in front of their eyes, an event was being fulfilled. They had, or they could have had, their scroll open, the Old Testament open, like in a laboratory with a clipboard. Are you listening? They could have been like this. Oh my. What is today's date? It's April 6th. April 6th, 32 AD. Hey, while I'm recording these events down, he's going down the path, people are shouting hosannas. The scribes just said, Jesus, make your disciples to be quiet. He just said to them, I tell you, if I told them to be quiet, these stones would yell out. That's how big of a day it was. There would have been a rock concert of hosanna. I wish just for effect that Jesus would have said, all right, quiet, quiet. You guys ready for this? And then the rocks would have started vibrating and then shouting. It would have been awesome. Anyway, you could have been there with a clipboard and somebody might have said, wait a minute. This is awesome to think. It could have happened. Somebody in the crowd could have said, hey, does somebody have a book of Daniel nearby? Turn to Daniel. Go to chapter 9. Hey, count the 173,880 days, 483 years. Oh my gosh, that's this year. This is the 483rd year. 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC. It's today. Today's the day. Now's the time. This is the acceptable day of the Lord. Can you imagine being in the crowd and hearing that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What If There's a Reason for What Is Going On? Now, this is part of a series we're presenting this week on Real Radio because this is the time of year that followers of Jesus celebrate and recognize that this is history's most pivotal week. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, declare that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.